Beginning of Sunday school is always a time when we think back to our own Sunday school and the teachers who meant a lot to us, the responsibility of teaching. It's always a day on which I remember what I think is one of the more serious names for the pastor, the minister, the reverend. In our particular polity, the minister is officially the teaching elder. That's a kind of fearful title, to be in charge of the teaching of a congregation. The other elders that we elect are called ruling elders. But the minister is the teaching elder. And so when we come to the scripture lessons and the sermon, it is a very special privilege and a burden and a heavy responsibility to teach a whole congregation. I covet your prayers for that, and I appreciate the opportunity. This morning we're going to think together about faith, having faith or doing faith. And to help us think together about that and to learn about it, we turn first to Exodus chapter 17, the first seven verses, the familiar story about Moses striking the rock, water coming forth. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of Israelites journeyed by stages as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim. There was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it, so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" To help us further continue our study of faith, listen to Psalm 95. "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and the dry land which his hands have formed. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would listen to his voice. Do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, or on the day of Massah in the wilderness, when your ancestors tested me and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work." Along with the passage from Exodus and Psalm 95, the gospel is from Matthew 16, and that also helps us to think together about faith. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Sermon titles are pictures, or at least they should be, a kind of word picture. They ought to be like a little window or a snapshot into which we can see the meaning or the direction or the theme or the structure of the sermon. Let me tell you about our title, our picture of the sermon, Having Faith or Doing Faith. It's a word picture. And words have a sound, not just a content. And I picture just have faith is sounding kind of weak and wimpy and quiet. Whenever I think about just having faith, it reminds me of an excuse for not thinking and not trying and letting George, meaning God, do it all. Just have faith and it will all work out. We've all heard that. We've all said it. But it reduces faith to a kind of magic charm that we wave or hold or pretend we have. So, of course, it, whatever it is, will all work out. I also picture in my mind how I have seen just have faith used. Someone loses a loved one, a mate of a whole lifetime. A child, a parent, a sister, a brother, a friend. And someone else dismisses their sorrow with just have faith, meaning take 3 faith pills and it'll all be better in the morning. Well, that may be a very religious thing to say, but I don't think it's very Christian. On the other hand, doing faith, that makes me think of that old Nike commercial, Just Do It. You know, that commercial came in more forms than we want to remember, but all the forms of it had the same thing in common. There would be some athlete or some wannabe athlete trying hard and giving his or her all, and of course they were wearing Nike shoes. And in that commercial, we knew they were going to make it. They were going to give it their best, with the best shoe, of course. And so the commercial encouraged them to just do it. There wasn't any question about the outcome. We knew they'd try. They'd do it. Well, that kind of confidence, that kind of participation, that kind of reality is how I want to picture doing faith. And I think the scripture lessons of today teach us that faith may be as much a verb, an action, as it is a noun, a thing that we either have or don't. Think about it. How do we measure faith? We can't attach some kind of religious meter like a blood pressure cuff and get some kind of reading about how much faith we have or don't have or what its condition is. So how then should we go about measuring or rating or counting or knowing about the faith we're supposed to have, or better yet, do? Best definition of faith that I know is trust in the promises of God. Now, trust is a response. A response is an activity. And an activity is something we can observe and develop and practice. In word, it's something we can do. Along with listening to the scripture lessons of today, we can note that this activity, this doing faith, is not a boring, simple, repetitive exercise that we do with little thinking or conscious effort, kind of like a treadmill. Rather, it's a building, growing experience and an activity in which we can participate. And we begin with Exodus. The people there were questioning God's care over them. They needed water, and there wasn't any. So they demanded water from Moses. They didn't have God in their pocket, and Moses said he didn't either. And with that, they wanted a demonstration so they could know God was at their beck and call, which was considerably different than trusting him, thanking him for their deliverance out of slavery in Egypt, and counting on him to provide all their needs, all of which he had been doing. And well, wouldn't it be a little weird of God to do all that he'd done, the 10 plagues, the division of the Red Sea, the pillar of fire and cloud to guide them, and then to let them die of thirst? Easy for us to say we're not thirsty. However, we know that when someone demands attention, that attention cannot be given as a gift. It's like asking for a present. Then it isn't a real present. We might get the gift, the card, the flowers, whatever. But the doing of the present, the giving, has lost its meaning. And that's exactly what happened. The place of the miracle of water from the rock, Moses named Massah and Meribah, which in Hebrew means place of testing, place of contention. They received the water they demanded, but they didn't do their faith in such a way as to open themselves to all the blessings that God wanted to provide in response to trust, in response to doing faith. Now we know that's true because of Psalm 95. Psalm 95 was written hundreds of years later. And look what it remembers. Not the miracle of the water from the rock, but the lack of faith on the part of the people. And the result of that not doing faith was a society and a culture that failed to love God and follow his ways, so that while they were kept under his care in the wilderness, nonetheless, they spent 40 years wandering in the desert learning to trust God. And it's here that we start to see the lesson for us. In the activity of worship, of praising God, and that's what the first 7 verses of that psalm are all about, there's a warning. Don't forget the thanksgiving as a part of worship, as a part of doing faith, lest we make the same mistake that the Hebrews did as at Meribah on the day of Massah in the wilderness. Proving, testing, demanding of God is not faith, even though it masquerades that way. You've heard it. I just told the Lord what I needed and he came through. Well, why did he do that? Because I told him to? Or because he's the Lord? One way is testing faith. The other way is doing it. A help to doing faith is thankfulness for past blessings, which remind us to trust God in the present for whatever our future is, rather than be demanding. Now, we know how to do that. When we remember the suffering of Christ, we do it not to feel bad, but to be thankful for the salvation that it brings, to remember it in order that we will also be remember Easter, so that we survive in the now and look forward to the future. Thankfulness now leads to faith for the future. Now, that praise and warning in Psalm 95 teaches us a lot about how to do it. All that we do in worship, all the solemn and the joyful emotions we sense, can only be legitimate if we're ready to obey God. It is by doing His will, keeping His commandments, that we do our faith and express our trust in the promises of God, that yes, we do believe God's way is best, and that it's the only way to life as the way He intends it. And it takes a lot of doing faith to keep the commandments. I don't know many people who keep the commandments out of fear. They might start that way, but think about it. When we break the commandments, there's no immediate punishment from God. There are consequences that might follow, legal punishment, guilt, mistrust, but God doesn't strike us dead or appear like some infuriated Wizard of Oz. True keeping of the commandments is always done out of faith. People who keep them do so because they believe it's best. They believe it's God's way of living, and that will allow us to be doing His will His way, even when we don't see the result or the reward. I mean, who knows the results of not losing one's temper? Well, we know what happens when we do. We make fools of ourselves. We don't take God's name in vain when we don't lose our temper. We don't express wicked hatred toward somebody. We don't wish them ill. And maybe we even forgive them as we ourselves expect and need to be forgiven, when we don't lose our temper. See how that works? To see how God responds to the way you and I do faith, look at the gospel lesson with me. There we see Peter's confession of faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now, after all that Peter had done and all that he had not done, after all he had heard and seen, he does his faith by saying what he believes. He breaks with the past. He knows Jesus is not John the Baptizer somehow brought back to life after being beheaded by Herod. He knows he's not Elijah or Jeremiah come back from the dead. And Peter does not test God. He doesn't ask for another miracle. He says what he believes. He does it. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And immediately, Jesus responds as if he's just been waiting for this moment to happen. And then he tells them, Jesus tells the disciples about his mission and his ministry and his purpose and what it's all about. And he says, on this kind of faith, this kind of trust in God's promises, this response to God's revelation and activity, on that I will build my church and the powers of death shall not prevail against it. Now don't get confused over you are Peter and on this rock I'll build my church. Jesus was making a little play on words here. In Greek, it's Petros, Peter, and Petra, like petrified rock. Some have taken this to mean that Peter was the first pope. Others use it to say that, well, you have to have apostolic succession in order to have proper authority in the church. Scripture plainly teaches that Jesus was saying it is on this kind of doing faith that Peter displayed that Jesus Christ builds his church. Peter understood it. In 1 Peter 2, he writes that Christ is the very cornerstone of the church. And the church's membership includes all those who confess as Peter did. The epistles, which were written much earlier than the Gospels, insist that only Christ is the rock, the foundation. 1 Corinthians says, other foundations can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. On that rock, that trust in Jesus as to who he is and what he does, that's where the church is built. And the activity of doing that faith begins with that confession that Jesus is the Son of God. It is the beginning of that activity that keeps going and growing and building the church, the body of Christ. Now we have a beautiful building in which to worship and carry on the program of the church. Those before us built it, we have it, we work to maintain it. But we also continue to build the body of Christ to do our faith. And it's in that doing that we confirm and demonstrate and strengthen ourselves. Our building has an address, 436 Union Street. Our church has a ministry and mission that is centered at 436 Union Street, but it goes out to many people and places and activities from here. In other words, we have a building, but we do church. We baptize babies and adults. We teach children and grown-ups. We fellowship together. We care for each other. We pray to God. We give what we have. We worship with beautiful music. We sing hymns of deep faith and meaning. We talk about spiritual things. We laugh with each other. We cry with each other. We remember the past. We plan for the future. In a word, all of those things we do. Faith is what we continue to do because we trust in God. Trusting in His guidance, we act. Thankful for the good of the past, depending upon God's good in the future, we don't have faith. We do it. Now, this coming week, we will all have opportunity to do God's will, to keep His commandments, to be what we know God intends us to be. We'll be able to listen to someone, and help them just by listening. We'll have the opportunity to be honest, not out of fear of getting caught if we don't, but because it's the right thing to do. And we will know that what we did pleased God, even if nobody else knows or understands why we did it. Whether we want to or not is a matter of will or personality or circumstance or social pressure, but it's not a matter of faith. Whether we do it or not, that's a matter of faith, of trust in the promises of God. Faith is something that we do. Amen. Join me in the prayer for blessing on the word. Together, let us pray. Living God, help us to hear your holy word and open our hearts so that we may truly understand. An understanding that we may believe, and believing that we may follow in all faithfulness and obedience, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.